Welcome to this episode of The Wolf and the Shepherd. Today, we're going to be talking about the Jerusalem Syndrome. Kind of an interesting topic that we stumbled on. I don't remember if I was reading a news article or what I was doing. I said, hey, have you ever heard about this Jerusalem Syndrome? And, you told me, no, I haven't. I said, maybe we ought to do a little bit of research on this, and let's do a podcast about it, because I think folks might find this kind of interesting.
Well, first of all, I thought it might be a good name for a band, to be honest.
Well, yeah. But what kind of genre of band?
The Jerusalem Syndrome. I don't know. It had to be an alt band.
Yeah. But the problem is there's not that much alternative music out there anymore. Maybe it would have been a good name for a band like 30 years ago.
Yeah, maybe, but I also thought, well, there's going to be issues with the logo, because if we're having to pay per letter the Jerusalem Syndrome, we're going to go bankrupt just on doing the t-shirts.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially if you have to, like you say, pay per letter. That's pretty long. But, I mean, they could go by, like, TJS, right?
Yeah, they could, but like you said, we did have to do a little bit of research on this one, more than we normally do, which, is like saying I walked, 4.5 feet to the refrigerator rather than was able to reach three feet from my seat to the refrigerator.
Right. And let's go ahead and be honest. I actually, for the first time, did a smidgen of research. I didn't leave all the research up to you this time.
Did you actually use Google, or did you use Bing or Yahoo or
No, I asked Jeeves. I went into Ask Jeeves.
Is that still around?
Yes.
Really?
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm lying.
The problem I have with DuckDuckGo, right, is I like the fact it says, oh, you're not being tracked. But to be honest with you, I don't really type much stuff in where I bother about anybody's tracking me. But it comes up with so few results when I use DuckDuckGo. I just can't use it for research on stuff.
Yeah.
I like the fact it doesn't really have many ads, but...
Yeah, but I think people are going into DuckDuckGo to do a different type of research than we're doing for the podcast, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, but DuckDuckGo, if you want to sponsor us, we are available. We do not have an official search engine sponsor yet.
That's true.
So we are available, and we will edit out any... I guess.
Well, we haven't said anything bad about DuckDuckGo. We did do a podcast about ducks, but I think they'd be okay with what we said about ducks.
Yeah, that's more DuckDuck piss off, though.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, true. But anyway, Jerusalem Syndrome. I tried to find a really simple definition of it.
Okay.
But, the more websites actually visited, it seemed like the worse and worse in terms of like being able to find a simplistic definition of it, which didn't stretch into multiple paragraphs. So,
honestly, the more you researched it, the harder it became to define.
Yeah, it got worse. So I actually went with the Wikipedia one, which, immediately smacked of a little bit of skepticism, but it said the Jerusalem Syndrome is a group of mental phenomena involving the presence of religiously themed obsessive ideas, delusions, or other psychosis-like experiences that are triggered by a visit to the city of Jerusalem.
Okay.
Now, I must admit, I did have to read that like about four times, because the only bit I really got out of it the first few times was a visit to the city of Jerusalem.
Right. Yeah, so let's break that down for a minute. So, obviously, criteria number one, you got to go to Jerusalem.
Yeah, and it's the syndrome you get from going to Jerusalem. They just put the in front of it just to kind of explain it. So,
well, it makes it sound more official when you put the in front of it. I mean, we could have been Wolf and Shepherd, but we had to throw two D's in there to make it sound much more legitimate.
We could have been Wolf / Shepherd. I don't know.
Yeah.
Hyphen Shepherd.
Yeah, I know. We would have gotten confused on the slashes, though. I would have used a forward slash. You would have used a backslash.
Now, what's the difference?
The direction it goes. One goes forward, one goes back.
I mean, like, what does it mean in terms of, like, is there any kind of mathematical meaning if you have a forward or a backward slash?
I don't think in math it does.
Right. Because obviously in ASCII...
Well, yeah. In that and in programming...
Yeah.
But it matters. On the internet, it matters.
Yeah, I just don't know why.
why do we need two slashes? I don't
know. We've created another problem.
Yeah. All right. Let's make a note of that to not look that up.
So anyway, we've knocked it actually more basic than the Wikipedia definition. It's a syndrome you get, or some people get, when they go to Jerusalem.
Okay.
Yeah. So
obviously visitors that are showing up to Jerusalem and they end up with this Jerusalem syndrome.
Oh, it's not even visitors.
Oh.
But we'll get on to that later.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, it's not even just visitors.
No. All right, well, yeah. That shows you the extent of my research.
But it doesn't even just affect one religion or domination. It's, you know, actually Jews, Christians, and Muslims who get affected by the Jerusalem syndrome. Okay. And obviously that leads to, you know, the majority of people who, I guess, I don't know if you can call it afflicted or they get the syndrome or whatever, you know, normally have, you know, a firm kind of religious belief or doctrine before they go there. But some are very passive in that belief. But I haven't read about any atheists who have gone there and suddenly got the Jerusalem syndrome.
Right. So it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to have like a member of the clergy, for instance, or somebody that's very devout religious person that's going to capture this.
Right.
It could just be your average Joe. Maybe they're a non-practicing Jew or a Christian that hadn't been to church in 20 years. It could affect just about anybody.
Yeah. And actually wearing a mask will not prevent you from getting it.
But if you stay 6 feet away from Jerusalem, would that help?
No, I don't think distancing works either.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, this is immune to masks.
Well, yeah, it's immune to masks, but you have to be in Jerusalem. So if you stay 6 feet away from Jerusalem, you're not going to catch it.
We might need to look into that.
Yeah.
That might be the answer, although if you're actually deliberately going to visit Jerusalem, keeping 6 feet away from Jerusalem might kind of ruin the point of the trip.
Yeah, defeats the purpose.
Yeah.
I mean, even if you got like a real cheap plane ticket or something.
Yeah.
I mean, you might as well go on in.
So generally the thing is that, you know, everybody who's been recorded as having it does have some level of religious belief, some, you know, doctrine. You know, they might not be fanatical or anything, but they do tend to have some, you know, pre-belief before they go there. But, you know, what has come out is that, you know, a lot of the people who do get the syndrome were previously well balanced. They hadn't had any psychological disorders or any triggers, red flags or anything else before. It's just an absolute surprise that some people kind of get it. Although, not being skeptical, I bet you I could probably pick them out if I had to really kind of pick out from a lineup who's likely to get it out of the people boarding the aircraft.
Right. Yeah. I've been there. You know, I've done a lot of flying for jobs and everything, and I'm sitting on the airplane and you're picking out those people as they're coming down the aisle saying, please don't sit by me. Please don't sit by me. Oh, please, not this guy. Not this woman, whatever. So you could probably do the same thing if you're flying to Israel. It's like, not going to get it. Not going to. Oh, look at that guy. Yep. Oh, yeah.
He's definitely getting the Jerusalem syndrome.
He's getting it. Yeah, he's getting it.
So, the you know, the best known manifestation of Jerusalem syndrome is, normally it's a person who has been well balanced, because I think if you have had some type of psychotic issue before, they just figure this is another one to add to the list. So I don't even know if they put this on your resume of psychotic issues you've had before. They just go, he's having another episode.
Right. And it so happens to be he's in Jerusalem. So that's why, because when he goes to Legoland, he believes he's a master builder and is going to make his own country out of Legos and be the Lego King.
Right. Yeah, that's pretty accurate, I think. Now one thing is that what studies have not been able to really kind of get to the bottom of is the timing of how it occurs, because in the vast majority of cases, it kind of kicks in on the second day.
Okay.
Right, on the second day.
Right.
And
so you got to spend at least 24 hours there.
Yeah. And it kind of goes away again in most cases the moment you kind of leave Jerusalem or very shortly afterwards. So it's definitely the proximity effect, like you were saying earlier about that 6 feet away. As soon as you get, you know, once you get to six feet away,
see, there we go again. So once again, if you don't want to catch Jerusalem syndrome, just stay six feet away from Jerusalem and you're safe.
Yeah.
This help tip is brought to you by the Wolf and the Shepherd. Yeah. We're trying to keep you healthy. So
I have similar health advice on not getting pregnant, actually.
Oh, well.
Keeping 6 feet away.
Yeah, that sounds like a topic for another podcast.
Yeah, but all good advice. But there are actually cases where the Jerusalem syndrome doesn't actually go away until a couple of weeks after leaving Jerusalem.
Ooh, okay. Yeah.
I don't know, that's because they took a lot of photos on the phone and they keep looking through them and keep getting triggered by, you know.
Yeah, or maybe their phone gets confused because it doesn't update the location settings, so the phone still thinks they're in Jerusalem. Right. So kind of carries over.
Yeah. Now, funnily enough, and this is one of the many funny things about the Jerusalem syndrome, I mean, I don't like to make light of any kind of mental health issue, but
yes, you do.
You've got to admit this one's a bit out there. It used to be referred to as Jerusalem squabble poison.
Jerusalem squabble poison. Yeah.
Now, what do you think? Now, do you know what the word squabble means? In England, like having a squabble is having an argument.
Yeah, I picture squabble is like a skirmish, a little fight, something like that. Yeah. That's what I think of when I hear the word squabble. That word didn't jump out to me as much as the word poison, though. It's a fight that poisons you. I think somebody was being lazy. Kind of like the writers of that new Wonder Woman movie, the Wonder Woman 84. That was such lazy writing. This sounds like the same dude.
Well, it's a lazy movie as well.
Well, yeah.
Terrible.
Yep.
But if the producers of Wonder Woman 1984 want to sponsor us, we do not currently have a female superhero franchise sponsoring the show.
That is
so
true.
Just get in touch via email at thewolfandtheshepherd@gmail.com.
And let's be honest, they need all the help they can get on that pile of trash.
Anyway, again, we can edit that out. Jerusalem squabble poison. I think if you want to be taken more seriously in the academic field for psychology and stuff, I think you need to switch Jerusalem squabble poison to something more aligned, like the Jerusalem syndrome.
Yeah, syndrome. It, you know, that sounds like an official thing.
Yeah,
squabble poison.
Squabble poison.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't even matter what prefix you have. There's nothing which you can put in front of squabble poison to make it sound legit.
Hang on, let me try.
Yeah.
The Last Jedi squabble poison.
Well, I mean, in terms
that makes a lot of sense, though.
Yeah. It is.
I don't know.
But did you know that, I don't know how much research you did on your Ask Jeeves, but cases of the syndrome, they'd already been observed during the Middle Ages, which doesn't shock me that much because they were a bit mad.
Well,
generally speaking, I mean, they kind of believed a lot of weird things back in the Middle Ages anyway.
Yeah.
Because I think the Monty Python and the Holy Grail was pretty much a documentary in some ways of the
Well, it's very historically accurate.
Yeah, it is very historically accurate.
Yes. I mean, that got me through world history as far as what happened in England.
Yeah. And it was roughly early 1930s, I think, before it was actually clinically described in, like, you know, medical papers that Jerusalem syndrome was a thing. But maybe before that point, I don't know at what time it was still known as Jerusalem squabble poison. So if you were a doctor trying to get some type of credibility, you probably would given that one a wide berth. You know, when you've got people writing on, you know, the Black Death and all this other stuff, you know, what's your topic, Jerusalem squabble poison?
Yeah, but, you know, if you take away the band Poison from the 80s.
Yeah.
Wouldn't Jerusalem squabble poison be a better band name than the Jerusalem syndrome?
Again, this was back when printing t-shirts was expensive, so
yeah, that's true.
I don't think.
See,
what are you going to do with the logo?
Oh,
that's worse than the Jerusalem syndrome.
So the problem I have with that is I keep picturing the Poison logo from the band from the 80s, and then like Jerusalem Squabble right above that. I mean, what a great t-shirt that would make.
Maybe. I don't know if it kind of rolls off the tongue as well as Poison.
Right? Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But plus, also, you might kind of put off the anti-Semitics out there from following the band.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That could have been seen as like Hitler's favorite band.
Yeah.
And that might have caused some problems.
Yeah.
That's why you're here, to keep me in check. Yeah. See, that's when I have these ideas and I need somebody like you to say, hey once again, not a good idea. Yeah. Just forget about it and move on.
Wouldn't work nowadays either. So anyway, what I hadn't taken a notice of when you first brought the topic to me was that the Jerusalem Syndrome had actually made a few appearances in pop culture.
Oh, I didn't look any of these up.
Yeah, and there was an X-Files episode where a character had returned to the United States after going to Jerusalem, and they said he had, you know, Jerusalem Syndrome, and he ended up killing a kid who had shown signs of stigmata, I think because, you know, I don't know whether it was a case of he thought the kid was faking it and he was trying to get rid of, you know, people
But in the show, they actually called it the Jerusalem Syndrome.
As far as the internet said, that might be, bite me not true. I was going to look it up actually and watch that, because I have seen, like, I think pretty much every X-Files episode there ever is, but that might have been like about 20 years ago, that episode.
Yeah, but I mean, how long ago was the X-Files? That was a long time ago.
Oh yeah, it was more than 20 years ago, the first episode brought
out. Yeah, that was a great show.
It was.
I mean, it really was. And it had a big following. They had that movie that came out and everything, too.
Well, they had a couple of movies. Like,
did they have more than one?
Yeah, there was some. Yeah, there was at least two.
Well, there was one that went in the movie theater, wasn't there?
Well,
I swear I saw the X-Files movie in the movie theater a long time ago. But I could see them doing like a made-for-TV movie, because it was a TV show, right?
There are at least two X-Files movies.
That's one of those shows I need to go back and watch. But it makes sense. I mean, the X-Files, they like to dig into some crazy stuff. And there's probably a couple of people sitting around the X-Files writing room like you and I say, hey, have you ever heard of this Jerusalem Syndrome? Maybe we could, write an episode about it. So I'm going to have to dig that up.
It's like, Jerusalem Syndrome? Do you mean Jerusalem Squabble Poison?
Yeah, that band
that was over there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, even the Simpsons got in the act. Homer and, I think he went with a group, I can't remember if it was his family as well, but they went to Jerusalem, and Homer got convinced, you know, he was the Messiah, and then eventually the whole of the tour group, you know, were all convinced they were the Messiah. So there's a whole bunch of them walking around thinking they were the Messiah.
Wow. So, not to get too off topic here, and this is going to be kind of off topic, but have you ever been to Jerusalem?
I have not.
Yeah, no. Neither have I. So that fell pretty flat. So moving on.
I've been more than 6 feet away from Jerusalem.
Oh, so have I.
Yeah. Probably actually, why I haven't got the Jerusalem scene.
Yeah, it was more than 7 feet from me.
Yeah. Well, that belief of being the Messiah, it does happen to a lot of the religious tourists who go there. You know, like I said, rather than just regular people who go for a visit.
Like a church group.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that does happen, that, you know, people get that Messiah complex and actually think they're the Messiah. And there's evidence that some of these people, you know, have had these obsessive religious fixations before visiting Jerusalem. And it's like, I guess Jerusalem just acts as some type of catalyst or whatever, and just, you know, propels this fixation just completely out of control.
Yeah, well, I mean, that makes sense. I mean, it's the home of the world's three largest religions. It's all right there. And I'm guessing, like, when you go to Vegas, you know, you walk by gift shops all the time and you want to buy a shirt that says, you know, hey, I lost this in Vegas or whatever else. I'm guessing when you go to Jerusalem, there's all kinds of religious stuff going on there. And you just get kind of succumbed to that. I mean, you go to Colorado and all of a sudden you just want to be a skier. You go to California and all of a sudden you just want to be a surfer and you buy that. I guess you go to Jerusalem and there's all kinds of religious stuff around. And you say, well, maybe I want to be religious now.
Yeah. I thought, you know, there can only be a handful of cases, right? Otherwise this thing would be more widespread in terms of how many people know about it. But you know, between like 79 and 93, so, you know, roughly like 14 years, there were 470 visitors from all over the world who actually experienced such extreme psychosis they had to be hospitalized. So that isn't just the grand total of people who actually had the Jerusalem syndrome. These are the ones who had it so bad that they actually had to be hospitalized.
They had
470.
They had a severe case,
yeah,
then.
Yeah. And but this is what I was saying earlier, but even local residents can be even temporarily or permanently affected by it.
Yeah. Well, it kind of makes you wonder, you know, let's say you're living in Jerusalem. You come home, you know, you had a bad day at work, right? I mean, you didn't sell enough sandwiches at your sandwich shop. Come home, old lady sitting there. And so you're kind of beat down and saying, hey, you know, I am trying to do something to make everything better for this family. And the wife says, hey, I'm smelling a little bit of Jerusalem syndrome here. You need to get off your high horse. You're not as important as you think you are. And the guy's like, oh, yeah, that's true. We do live in Jerusalem. And sometimes that Jerusalem syndrome kind of sneaks up on me. So I need to get back down and I just need to go make sandwiches again tomorrow. I'm sorry, honey.
Well, it's a bit of a leap from going from being a little bit narcissistic to thinking you're the Lord and Savior.
But what if you make the best sandwich in Jerusalem?
Well, I don't know what the competition is, so I can't really comment on that.
Well, yeah, but, you know, if you're the best sandwich maker in Jerusalem, you might think you're the Messiah of sandwich makers.
Well, look at it this way. I mean, like, if you're making the best Tex-Mex in Texas, that's a pretty big boast. You're making it in like Iowa, it's probably like, probably get it out of a can and it'd be all right.
Good point.
You know, like Wolf Brand chili out of the can might be the best chili they ever
that's eat. True. Well, and of course,
no offense, Iowa. Yeah, we love your potatoes.
Yeah, if that's the only chili you've ever had,
yeah,
you don't know the difference.
Yeah. And if there's any Iowa potato companies out there who are looking to sponsor a podcast, we do not yet have an official potato sponsor from Iowa. So maybe give us a call.
Yeah, and I would rather have one from Idaho, not Iowa, because Iowa's not really known for potatoes.
Yeah, I kind of hoping you wouldn't notice that slip. But well, hey...
Actually,
but hey, if there's a good farmer who grows potatoes in Iowa,
I think I would rather have an Iowa potato sponsor. That would be great.
Yeah.
You don't even have to give us a penny. We just want an official Iowa potato sponsor.
It's just like we're going to skip Tex-Mex from Texas and get it from Colorado.
And we want someone who grows potatoes in Iowa.
Yeah.
Because we're all about small business here.
Yeah. Now, a lot of the tourists who they studied are not just the ones who obviously had it so severe they had to be thrown into hospital. They actually demonstrate very, very similar patterns of disintegration and symptoms. And what I mean by the disintegration, as in, you know, their normal behavior and pattern of thinking completely breaks down, and it's almost like they take on another personality. I mean, not quite schizophrenia or like dissociative identity disorder, but you know,
they just completely change.
Well, yeah, the people who are with them are kind of notice a personality change, and like I said, those symptoms tend to start round about the second day.
Okay,
you know, I think that's after on the first day. You know, you're a bit tired anyway. You're gonna be too tired to take on a syndrome on your first day.
Well, let's be honest, you're jet lagged.
Yeah,
you know, you probably
you're
sleeping in a different place. Nobody sleeps well on their first day whenever they're on a vacation or whatever. So you're getting used to the hotel room, trying to figure out what you got for dinner. You realize, I forgot my toothbrush. Now I got to go find a CVS and get me a toothbrush, or, you know, the TSA, they took my shaving cream because they thought it was a bomb or something like that. So now you've got past all those first day travel woes. So now you're calm enough to let the Jerusalem syndrome kind of sneak up and bite you.
Well, I think on the first day, you're kind of like, you know what? I think I might be Moses, but I'm a little bit too tired to kind of pull it off today. So tomorrow is, I'm going to start 8 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
I am Moses tomorrow morning.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. But apparently the symptoms start off, and again, it's almost in every case with these inexplicable kind of feelings of nervousness and anxiety. But I'll tell you what, I mean, it must be like an actor, you know, going on Broadway for the first time. if you're going to step into like Moses or Jesus's shoes, there's got to be a little bit of nervousness going into that role.
Oh, sure. Well, that's with any role, but especially, you know, a prominent religious figure that everybody has this idea in their mind of what they look like. Or, you know, if you look at Charlton Heston in the Ten Commandments, I mean, that was Moses. So everybody that's always been Moses is always going to look to say, am I as good as he played Moses?
Yeah.
So if I'm walking around, I'm going to be like, I'm not Moses. Maybe I'm like one of the other random people walking around, you know, kind of one of the B or C characters in the Bible. Maybe I could pull that off. I don't think I could pull Moses off.
Yeah, because it's got to be a little bit disconcerting when you're really trying to get in the role and people are booing you.
Yeah.
Because you know that there's, out of all these people who have got Jerusalem syndrome right, there's got to be a lot of them who have claimed to have been the same character. I mean, you know, if we're forgetting about the ones who, you know, think they're Jesus, if we take the other characters in there, there's got to be some duplicates.
Oh,
so that maybe they've got a website which is like, you know, the top 10, you know, Moses of, you know, the 1990s who had the Jerusalem syndrome. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, you could be Zacchaeus. It's like, you know, I'm like 5'2".
Yeah.
I like to climb trees. Yeah. I'm Zacchaeus. Everybody's going to look at you like, you picked that dude? We'll let you pretend to be that.
Well, we're pretty lazy, so I think Lazarus is the one we'd probably try and pull off.
Oh, that would...
Yeah.
Yeah, like, except for...
Good job. You've been asleep now for a few days.
That would be a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just going to get like somebody that. To kind of lift you up through the roof or whatever.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. That one wouldn't be too bad.
But also one of the things is, you know, when people go in groups, you know, even if it's just with their family, not with like a church group or something, it's been noted that they have this sudden need to be alone, and then they start performing these weird kind of purification rituals and like these Jewish baths and stuff, like to try and cleanse themselves.
Yeah, but I can see the part about wanting to be alone. I mean, if I'm going somewhere historical, I tend to want to be alone. When I went to Boston, I wanted to be alone because I want to look at the historical part of that. And, you know, my family or whoever I've traveled with, they think that's boring. So if I was going to go to Jerusalem and one of the symptoms are that, you know, somebody in the group wants to be by themselves, I'd be like, look, I want to do my own thing. So why is that so bad if you want to go off and do your own thing?
Yeah.
And it's like automatically, that guy must have the Jerusalem syndrome because he wants to go be by himself.
Yeah.
No, I want to actually go and read into things and take my own time. Why is that so bad?
Yeah, I'll be honest with you, mate. Most of my... friends they go on vacation with their family want to be left alone, even if they go to Aspen. I don't know.
I think that one's cheating. I think that's a cheating symptom of the syndrome right there, of them wanting to be alone.
Yeah.
The purification thing.
It's hot. Maybe they just want a bath.
Yeah. I mean, maybe the shower isn't that great.
Right.
Maybe they have those low flow showers over
right.
there.
Yeah.
And you're like, you know, I can't seem to get clean. So I need to take more showers because I can't get all the shampoo out of my hair.
Yeah.
Now, I know that's not a problem for you because you don't have any hair on your head. But, you know, when you're trying to wash your hair and you have this thick, luxurious hair like I have, you know, which you don't have. I know I'm rubbing my hair here and I'm making you jealous. Sometimes you got to say, you know, I'm going to have to take another shower because I can't get all the shampoo out of my hair.
Well, I think one of the things which does count is that as the condition continues, often they'll start dressing in robes to try and identify with characters from the Bible.
Not a robe person.
Where do you think they get the robes from? Do you think there's a local market which like is cashing in on the syndrome? Or
if there's not... We need to stop this podcast right now and we need to go sell robes in Jerusalem.
Get Etsy or like eBay or something to kind of set us up
I remember I was on a business trip one time and did one of the, you know, I don't know if it's Priceline or something like that and did, you know, ended up with the fancy hotel, right, for cheap price and stayed there and they had one of the robes hanging in the closet and I'm looking at the robe. I'm like, I'm not a robe person. I don't own a robe. I don't know what I'm supposed to do with this, but I'm going to wear a robe. And so got out of the shower, put the robe on, called the wife and did the little FaceTime thing and said, I'm wearing a robe. And she said, you look stupid. And that was the end of my robe wearing.
I didn't even think about that. Yeah, surely if they have robes in the hotel room, surely you just wear one of those and the only change would be you just wouldn't take it off.
Yeah.
Now, if it's got Hotel Hilton on the back of it, then obviously that's kind of like not quite so biblical as like if it's a genuine one you bought from the marketplace. But didn't you say that some people who couldn't find robes were like using curtains and stuff?
Yeah, so in my little bit of research that I found, there were some people that used the bed linens.
Right.
And they made it, you call them a robe. I call it more like a toga.
Right.
They were basically taking the bed sheets off and kind of making a toga out of that and wandering around doing that thing. I don't think I could pull that off. But can you imagine, though, if we had a robe store over there and we put the Jerusalem squabble poison on the back of the robes? Now we're getting somewhere. You know, nice embroidered robe with that on the back.
Yeah.
Maybe get a sponsor over there, like, you know, Hilton. You know, little Hilton logo on the front and Jerusalem squabble poison on the back of the robe, and we just all walk around in the robes, sell them for like $500 a piece.
Do you not think some of the people deeper into the psychosis will say that that's not quite as authentic as they were looking for?
Well, but they're crazy, so how would they know the difference?
Temporarily crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All we got to do, hey, this is a no refund, no exchange type thing. So once they buy it, we're off the hook.
Yeah. Well, you know, for the most part, other than those people who end up in hospital, most of the sufferers of it just tend to be kind of like a little bit annoying to the family or the group they're in. Or, you know, the ones who require hospitalization, for whatever reason, around about 2010, and that's pretty much an exact year, other than it might be a couple of years either side, but around 2010, the episodes of Jerusalem syndrome dropped like incredibly, because it used to be there'd be about 50 people hospitalized a year, right, from having this.
Okay,
this
so roughly one a week.
Yeah, so incredible psychotic episodes, but it kind of went down to about two or three a year.
Wow.
Just dropped suddenly.
That's huge.
It's like it wasn't fashionable anymore.
Yeah. That's kind of sad. I mean, can you imagine if you were one of those doctors, right? And you've got some dude comes in and he's got the Jerusalem syndrome. And so the orderly or whatever they are, you know, comes up, you know, you're the doctor, you're walking in for your shift, and dude comes up to you and he says, okay, we got Joe over here.
Joseph. And, I think you mean Joseph.
Oh, okay. I picked a bad name.
Yeah.
Sebastian.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, let's use a good English name, right? We've got Sebastian over here, and he's got a case of the Jerusalem syndrome. So Dr. Wolf, what should you suggest that we do with Sebastian over here?
Keep him 6 feet away from Jerusalem.
Ah. Yeah, I mean, can't they just hop them in an ambulance and drive them six feet away from the city, magically they're cured? So why do we even need the hospital then?
Well, remember, this
I mean,
was
we're
you
sitting
came,
here.
This was you who came up with the 6 foot rule. It's not an exact science to cure the Jerusalem syndrome.
Well, but I believe we made ourselves like PhDs in this, and we cured it in the beginning of the podcast. Right. So do we need to just open up a little hospital over there where we sell the robes? And everybody that shows up that has it, we just put them in a car. Like, we could probably get a cheap Toyota Prius for like $5,000, and just drive them outside the city and just leave them out there and say, you're cured, you know, walk away.
I've got a better idea, actually. How about we just get a loan and set up a biblical theme park and let them just run with it and just let them think they're who they are? You know, like people who go to Disneyland and all that stuff. Let them just go there and just believe they're who they are, not harming anybody. Keep an eye on them. We've got security and all that stuff.
Yeah, but
just
what?
Let them run around.
Okay. So the problem with that is, what if you have two dudes out there that both think they're Moses?
Well, you give them time slots. You're Moses at 2 o'clock. You're Moses at 5:30.
Oh, that's a good idea.
theme park for Jerusalem. Mind you, now it's gone down to 2 or 3 sufferers a year who require hospitalization. I don't know if there's money in
but
that.
But it's like any other business thing we think about. I mean, we'll make like $6.
I'm betting now that they're just reporting all of those cases as COVID anyway.
So, oh, that's true. Yeah.
Now, there has actually been some pretty extreme cases of Jerusalem syndrome, as light as we've made of it. And that doesn't mean we're not going to make light of these cases either, because these ones are actually kind of ridiculous. Well, actually, the first two are kind of sad, but the last one's ridiculous. Back in November 2017, there was a British tourist where I think he was Irish.
See, it's always got to be the British people.
Well, I think he was Irish, actually.
I figured you'd throw it at the Welsh.
I think it was, because the article actually came from an Irish newspaper that I read. And they don't normally report on anything outside of Ireland, you know. I don't even think they reported on World War II during the war.
Yeah.
It wouldn't nothing to do with them, apparently.
They had to keep the Guinness factory open.
Yeah. So anyway, he disappeared in the desert in somewhere close to southern Israel. I can't remember. I think it began with a G, Govel or something like that. Anyway, whatever. Irrelevant. So he left a trail of Bible passages, and they found his laptop and all this stuff. And they found a lot of references to Jesus going into the desert for 40 days and 40 nights. The last kind of update I could find on the interwebs as of November 2019, it still hadn't been found. So that's like 2 years. So I think he kind of went past the 40 days, 40 nights thing.
Yeah. Or did he just like change his name and somehow get back on an airplane and go back home? Everybody kind of forgot about it. And that could have happened.
Well, maybe you'd have thought his family might kind of noticed. Because this is like 2 years later, they still hadn't found him.
Oh, okay. So the family's actively trying to figure out what happened to the dude?
Yeah, but probably from Ireland. I don't know how good their internet is, so I don't know.
Well, not only that, but can we get him out of the Google pub Earth long enough to sober up and realize
that... find out where he is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember. I should have written down his name, actually. I thought you knew what his name was.
Seamus. Pretty sure it's Seamus.
Seamus O'Mahony or something like that.
Seamus O...
Yeah. Riley or whatever.
Seamus O'Squabble. We're going to call him Seamus O'Squabble. Yeah. Public service announcement, if anyone has any information as to the location of Seamus O'Squabble,
last seen wandering in a desert,
please send an email to thewolfandtheshepherd@gmail.com, and we will make sure that Seamus O'Squabble gets home.
Yeah.
Even though we don't have any idea how to get a hold of his family, but it'd be a great email to read. Because most of the email we get, I mean, we get some emails from listeners and everything, but we still do get a lot of spam.
We do get a lot of spam.
Yeah, but that would be great to get an email about Seamus O'Squabble.
It would be.
Yeah.
So back in 1969, an Australian tourist, again, not English, he set fire to the Al-Aqsa Mosque, believing he was on a divine mission.
Yeah, but
and there was a whole ton of riots. But apparently, also did a bunch of other stuff. Which
once again, though, you say not English, but that's where you sent all your prisoners. So
did a lot of people, though.
No, it was all the English. That's the way we learned it in history. So that's true. No, the winners write the history books. So that's the way we learned it. So by default, still English. Mm. So once again. You're doing a terrible disservice to your homeland here.
What about this last one, and this one was amazing.
Tell me again.
Set fire to a mosque, the Al-Aqsa Mosque. Yeah, he believed he was on some divine mission, and it caused a whole bunch of riots. But I think he did some other stuff as well. But the article didn't.
Which mosque is this? That's not the big famous one there on the Temple Mount, is it?
I don't know.
I think it is, isn't it? I don't know. The Dome of the Rock. I don't know what the actual name of that is, but isn't that the Dome of the Rock Mosque?
Ask Siri right now.
Oh, all right. Hang on.
Second name check she's adding, 42 episodes, 43 episodes.
Yeah, I mean, we don't even... Yeah. We're not sponsored by Apple, but All right, so what am I asking Siri here?
What's the most famous mosque in Jerusalem?
Okay. All right, here we go. Let's see. Oh. Thought I just held the side button down.
He's forgotten that.
All right. Well, we'll do it with voice. Hey, Siri. What is the most famous mosque?
That's my phone answering.
Yeah. Yeah, your phone way over there. Well, maybe it's because my phone was locked. Hang on. Hey, Siri?
That's still my phone.
Yeah. Yeah.
All exactly. Right. Let's give it up. Yeah. It don't matter. It was one of the mosques in Jerusalem.
Yeah.
Anyway,
exactly.
He set fire to it.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Well, it's still there.
Yeah.
So he failed.
Yeah. All the facts are there. That's all you need for that one.
Yep.
So anyway, this last one, a middle-aged American who I'm sure you're going to say had English descendants.
I'm sure he did.
Right. Tourist decided that he was Samson. Right. Which is
Samson.
Good. It's
okay.
New one. Right.
Well. Now we're talking about one of the, you know, B characters of the Bible.
Yeah.
That, you know, he had some stuff in the Bible written about him, but he's not super famous, right?
Yeah.
I mean, everybody knows who Samson is, but it's not like he took up a huge piece of the Bible.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Unless you kind of name check Delilah, a lot of people forget who Samson is.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah. So anyway, he got this idea that part of the Western Wall needed to be moved by his bare hands, all right? So he was an avid bodybuilder, you know, even before he came there. And, it didn't work out too well. And after a skirmish with the authorities, he actually ended up in a psychiatric ward. But one of the mental health professionals, while he was giving him a diagnosis or whatever, made the error of telling him he wasn't Samson. So this kind of enraged him.
Yeah.
Right? So
yeah,
he kind of went Hulk mode.
Yeah, right? let's admit, elementary mistake there.
Yeah, that's the worst thing you do.
Yeah.
So anyway, he turned into the Incredible Hulk, apparently, Bruce Banner style, and he smashed through a window, jumped out and escaped. And a nurse later found him at a bus stop, and he was quite belligerent until she praised his Samson-like strength, at which point he finally cooperated.
That almost sounds a little stolen from the Bible. Wasn't there a verse in the Bible about Samson waiting at a bus stop?
And a nurse turning up? Yeah, I think so.
Now, didn't you
read about that as well? And it's like dad had to come over and kind of coax him back
Jerusalem? So I read about somebody, and I think it was the Samson guy, that they finally coaxed him back into the hospital or whatever. And so his dad had to show up and fly back with him to take him back to America just to make sure he got back safe. And then, of course, you know, everything just kind of subsided and everything was good. But honestly, can you see Samson, the real Samson, right, saying, hey, dad, can you come help me? You know, he's supposed to be the strongest guy in the world, right? And he needs his dad to show up. Kind of sad.
Well, I think what'd be worse is when he gets back to the States, all his mates go, "Hey, how's the vacation?" And he's like,
"Not great." I wonder, you know, one thing I couldn't find, and I'm guessing you didn't find it either, is if the dude had long hair.
Yeah, you figured he would have.
Wouldn't that be ironic if they said, "Okay, all right. So, Dr. Wolf, he thinks he's Samson, and he's got long hair.
Quick, get him a wig.
So let's shave his head, like when he's asleep. And then we say, okay, all your strength's gone. You got to go home now.
Yeah.
You're going to miss Monday Night Football if you don't get on this plane. And Daddy's going to come take you home, and now all your hair's gone. It's like, oh, okay, well, you know, that makes logical sense. Yeah. So now my strength's gone. And then they tell the dad, look, just don't let him grow his hair out. Let's just rub Nair all over his head and make sure he doesn't have any hair anymore and everything. Problem solved. See, this is more the reason why I think we need to run this hospital over in Jerusalem. I think we could fix all these problems.
You know what would have been better if the nurse was named Delilah?
Oh, how ironic would that be? Mm-hmm. That would have been a giant mess. Mm-hmm. That would have been a giant mess. Well, with all that said, thanks for tuning into this episode of The Wolf and the Shepherd. We certainly hope you enjoyed it, and we will catch you on the next one.